Since the beginning of the church, persecution has been part of the Christian experience. In fact, the Bible tells us that all who seek to live a godly life will be persecuted. Today, an estimated 360 million Christians are living under severe religious restriction. On this podcast, we share their stories. And we answer the question, how can American Christians live as Christ in an increasingly hostile culture? The way of the persecuted is the harder way. And this is the Harder Way Podcast.
Well, hello, friends. I'm Scott.
And I'm Maddie. And welcome back to the Harder Way Podcast.
So what's on the agenda this week?
Well, would you believe me if I told you that in America, last week on Easter Sunday, there was a Bible burning. A Bible burning, as in a trailer full of Bibles dumped out onto the ground, torched, lit on fire.
Wow.
Bibles ablaze, if you will.
Wow. Well, the Bible is on fire.
Bible helps you get on fire for God.
That's right.
But yes, there was actually a Bible burning.
So give me some context on it. What's the story? What happened?
So as of right now, there are really no leads on exactly who did this, but in front of a pretty major church in Tennessee on Easter Sunday, someone took a trailer filled with Bibles. They think it was probably about a couple hundred, dumped out the trailer, lit them on fire, and just left this Bible bonfire in front of the doors of this church.
And so they don't know who it was or anything else?
No, we have no idea at this point who did it. Law enforcement is obviously looking into it, but we really don't know who did it. We just know that it was on Easter Sunday, several hundred Bibles on fire. So it was clear that somebody was trying to make a statement.
Well, as people who have committed our lives to teaching the Bible and to getting the Bible to persecuted Christians, it's a little bit heartbreaking to see such waste.
It is. It's so sad. And we mentioned this in our last episode about just how many Bibles we have in America and just the excess of availability and how amazing that is. But it's so horrible to think that there are people around the world who would do anything for a Bible. They would do anything to just have one book of the Bible.
Anything short of sin.
Yeah, of course. Anything short of sin. But you get what I'm saying, that would be everything to them. And yet we see these Bibles just being burned, destroyed completely.
Before we go deeper and talk about the act of the pastor himself and a little more context and about the perspective and the persecuted church angle on this, mm-hmm. as well, I would say this: we live in America. And so as a person who grew up in an era where words weren't violence, that we were told to tough it out, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, words can never hurt me. That's what we were taught. And I grew up in an era where we hated somebody burning the American flag, but we respected their right to do it. I would say the same thing about this. I hate that somebody would burn a Bible. It makes me very sad. But I, as an American, I respect your right to do that. Just as someone else can burn a Quran or some other holy book, you know, the illegality might be the fire hazard.
I was about to say, that's where the illegality comes.
But so I don't want to be a hypocrite on this. I support their right to do that. The other thing, though, that I want to say is that we have to be mindful of the fact that we live in this era
of misinformation
and sensationalism.
Oh, absolutely.
And so everyone's, you know, if you think about it, this pastor, and we'll talk about him in a minute, is a controversial figure. They haven't been in the news a lot lately.
Mm.
And what a great way to get in the news. So before the police finish investigating, when I see a hate crime, my first thought is always, did somebody do that on purpose to create division? Right.
That's always a possibility.
Was it really the guy from the white supremacist group that painted those racial slurs, or was it somebody who's just trying to stir up trouble? Okay. And so being intellectually consistent, I want to say about this Bible burning, I don't want to jump to a conclusion. I want to say, was it really somebody who had a message? What was the message? Or was it somebody trying to get themselves back in the news cycle?
It's definitely possible. I mean, all we can do is speculate, right? We have no idea of knowing.
But also a little bit about this pastor's name and why I might think these things, why I might think that's a possibility.
Well, and it's actually really interesting because when I first saw this story, all I saw was the title of the article, which was Bibles Burned in Front of a Church on Easter. And so I'm totally shocked. I'm thinking, what kind of church is this? Why did this happen? What's the backstory? And when I saw the name of the church and the name of the pastor, it began to make a little bit more sense to me. So this was Global Vision Church in Tennessee with Pastor Greg Locke.
Uh-huh.
And for those of you who may not necessarily be familiar with Greg Locke, he is really, in many ways, a political activist and a political figure. He was very deeply involved with a lot of things that I guess you could say, I mean, I almost don't want to say because it would cause more problems, but all I will say is this. He has very, very negative and hateful things to say about anyone who disagrees with him politically, refers to them as, you know, crack smoking, demon filled, you know, things of that nature. He made it very clear that anybody who did not vote the way he thought they should vote was not welcome in his church. And a lot of stuff came up during the COVID times because there was a famous clip of him kicking someone out of his church for wearing a mask to church.
Okay.
And obviously that is a debate for people to have elsewhere, masks and no masks and what the whole deal with that is. But I think any Christian should be able to say the only reason somebody should ever be getting kicked out of a church is if they are, you know, a danger to themselves or others. That you can't, if somebody walks into a church service, you should never just kick them out for something they're, you know.
I think you're right. And I think, you know, it's interesting that, interesting to me that oftentimes when you have a conversation with a person about something like a mask, you'll find their reasons for wearing one or not wearing one vary. Mm-hmm. And so whether I agree with them or disagree with them really depends on their reasoning. Not that they're convincing me, well, I have my own opinions, but that I can look at it and say, well, I don't agree with you, but I respect the fact that you're doing this because of your Christian consideration for other people or your Christian desire to be a good witness, or you want to demonstrate great faith, or that you're not afraid. You know, if your answer is political, then I give you a different response.
And I think the bigger picture is, though, it really doesn't matter. All that matters is you're kicking somebody out of your church for no reason because you think that they are disagreeing with you politically.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right? And so that's the bigger picture. And he's also in recent times gotten into a lot of stuff about demonic entities and things that we would say would not be biblical, believing that people who are born again can be fully demon possessed, saying things like children who have autism are demon possessed.
Never mind, I won't say anything. I'll move forward graciously. Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the challenge too, because what happens is, I think this is a cautionary tale. And if you want to go down the Greg Locke rabbit hole, you can. I would advise against it and just trust us to tell you that, you know, he started off probably as a pretty decent guy and he got really fired up during COVID, really political. And once he allowed politics, you know, politics is the art of compromise. And once he allowed it in, and we had did a podcast on this quite a while back, but you know, the idea is that how much, you know, vinegar makes your water taste bad. Mm. You can get a teaspoon in a glass of water and you can get that down pretty easily. Put a quarter cup in there, right? And it's like, or how much poison makes your glass of water bad? Very, very little, you know, any poison. And so we think of him allowing politics to become his main focus. It took his eyes off Jesus. And now instead of acting in Jesus's name in the way Jesus would want him to act, he's now acting in Jesus's name in the way he wants to act. And so he's allowing an opening for the enemy to come in and really mess with him. And I think that's what's happened.
Because I think when you let yourself get into politics and politicize everything and, you know, politicizing your faith and making everything about politics, you get to a place where it's super easy to feel that you are allowed to treat people however you want.
Right.
That as long that if people disagree with you, they are deserving of your hatred and your vitriol. And let's just say it straight here. Maybe you are 100% right about your political views, or maybe you're 100% right about this social thing or that social thing. Okay. Well, Jesus said, bless those who persecute you, which is much worse than somebody just disagreeing with you. Right. And so what we have to understand is there is never any reason as a Christian to be hateful, to dehumanize, to be nasty to other human beings, to other image bearers. But people use politics as that excuse that because you disagree with me politically, you represent to me everything that's evil.
I 100% agree. Let's take that thought a little further. In fact, if you are interested in other podcasts, my friend, Dr. Mark Dahlin, that's D-A-H-L-I-N, he has a podcast called The Crash, The Crash. And episode 10, he talks about the reason why Americans specifically act this way, Westerners. And the crux of it is this, that we tend to idolize individualism.
Oh, there you go.
Rather than seeing ourselves as part of a greater whole, which is the Christianity came from a worldview that really saw the Christians themselves as part of a greater whole, Jews as part of a greater whole, like this
the Semitic worldview and Eastern worldview even today is much more of a collectivist.
Yes, collectivist. Mindset. That's the word I wanted to use. That's the word that Dr. Dahlin uses. So if you get a chance, go check out his website, go check out his podcast, The Crash, and listen to episode 10 specifically, and he'll give you an explanation of why it is that we're that way and why it is that rather than really thinking and holding views that my community views are being faithful, I memorize a few ideas and I have these strong opinions, and now we can no longer dialogue. We have to fight about it, because for you to attack my idea is for you to attack me personally, because it's my personal idea.
Wow.
Makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I think that is something that we can observe everywhere, specifically online and on social media, probably. Mm-hmm. That seems to happen a lot, because we know that people feel a certain protection behind the keyboard, that they feel like they're emboldened to say things.
Emboldened by that. Oh, sure. Oh, sure. So let's go back to this Bible burning thing. I think we've had roast Pastor Locke enough.
We don't need to get into more details about him and his stuff, because, you know, we're not here to judge him. We're just stating this is what has happened, and this is the situation.
And if he was sitting here, he would validate those facts. He would say, yes, everything you said is true.
Right. He did say this. I did do this.
I do believe that.
Yeah.
Right. And so we want to stay that we don't want to get into the area of gossip or rumor. And if everything we've said, you can validate or verify online, probably directly from his social media presence without even going to a secondary source. Back to the Bible burning. The thing that I'm concerned about is this. If this was done by someone other than somebody in their church or them, and it's a very good chance it was, then why? And my first why that I come to is that they're angry. Somebody's angry at him about his politics.
Yes.
And so they're trying to burn a Bible or a stack of Bibles. And that's a lot of mad to burn a whole wagon full of Bibles. You had to collect all those Bibles. Where did they get them all?
Right. Then I'm assuming they probably paid for them.
Right. So that's a lot of anger. You're angry. And so what do? You want to burn these Bibles. So you're wanting to strike at a way in something that represents something that you feel like is going to hurt this person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what Pastor Greg Locke has done is he's successfully knitted together the Bible and conservative politics in the eyes of whoever this person was.
Mm.
And that's a problem.
Yes, we talked about this last week in our episode about the God Bless the USA Bible, that for a lot of evangelicals, they have created this relationship between their politics and their national identity and their Christian identity, to where those three things are inseparable and cannot be taken apart. And that is a really dangerous place to be, because when you see this situation with this Bible burning, it goes back to this idea of being persecuted for Jesus's namesake, or being persecuted just because of your bad behavior, or being persecuted for your political views.
Kinder makes that clear in one of his letters that that is not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
You get, there's no blessing in that. There's no honor in that. The honor and the blessing is in being, if you're going to be persecuted for the name of Jesus. Be persecuted because you're being like Jesus, and that's the spirit in you is offending the spirit in somebody else. So if there was a wagon of Bibles being burned outside of that church, Global Vision Church. If there was a wagon of Bibles being burned outside of that church, and it was because those people were known to be so much like Jesus, that you just, when you meet them, you're like, when you meet them, it just feels like you're meeting Jesus. I mean, they're that spiritually mature. They're that sanctified. They're that transformed into the image and likeness of Christ, which is what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. They're that far down the road. And somebody's like, I hate them for that. And I just want to hurt them for that. And they burn those Bibles. I would be rejoicing. I would be excited. I'd be like, this is wonderful. These people look and act so much like Jesus that the enemy is coming at them in the most, and trying to be as hurtful as he can, as he can get away with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't think that's the case.
No, I don't. Because why, of all of the churches, right? Why is it his church? Why is it this pastor who is so political, who is more associated with his political beliefs than his particular theology or Christian beliefs? That just doesn't line up. And the thing that's difficult for me, and I mean, you could even say, you know, scary, upsetting, what have you, is that the Bible, and again, we touched on this last week, is now seen as a representation of certain political ideologies.
Let's say conservative.
Yeah, conservative political ideologies.
Really, more specifically, Republican.
Yes.
And even more specifically, the MAGA, Make America Great Again. And now listen, you know, we're not even taking a political stand here.
We're not saying anything about who you should vote for, what you should believe politically, anything.
No, because if the Bible was associated with liberalism, mm-hmm. or with the Democratic Party,
mm-hmm.
or with, you know,
the Green Party or the Libertarians,
it would be a problem for me as well. We do not want the Bible associated with a political body. Because it doesn't build the Bible up. It tears the Bible down.
Yes.
It's bad.
Because you're watering it down with the political ideologies.
So let's say that, not, I don't want to say Democrats, but there's a, just as in the Republican movement, there's a far right fringe that's pretty scary. In the Democrats, there's a far left fringe that's pretty scary. So let's say hypothetically that the next election comes and that far left fringe, not the regular Democrats, not the regular Republicans in the middle of the road, not other parties, but that
extremists, because there are political extremists on every side.
My example, they've got to be on the left. So let's say leftist extremists take the White House, take a majority in the Senate, take a majority in the House of Republicans. And I mean, the House of Representatives, that was not Freudian. That was just my brain not working right. And they're going to remember, oh, those Christians were all siding with the other side, and we need to make sure that they're not a problem for us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go out of their way to make our lives miserable, make it hard to get Bibles, make it hard to meet on Sunday, make it a crime to evangelize. There are already, right now in the state of Washington, where we live, there is coming out soon, everything that's of this kind of a mindset gets passed in this state. So this will be passed, I'm sure. Hate speech reporting hotline. And it's every kind of hate speech. It's political, it's religious, it's sex, you know, gender, it's
racial,
anything. So it's not only Christians calling there complaining about Christians. It's going to be non-Christians complaining. How dare they? They read from Romans chapter 1 in public or in a church. I was at the church and I was offended. So these are the first steps. to these kinds of things happening in the church. Canada's way ahead of us. It's getting pretty bad up there. They're talking now about Scotland. Scotland's 7 years in jail for a speech crime.
Mm-hmm. In France right now, there's a whole situation with churches being told not to read from particular passages, that's going to be considered, you know, a hate crime. And that's the thing that's difficult is, as Christians, we're against hate crimes. We're against discrimination. We're against people being mistreated, being on the receiving end of prejudice, right? We're completely against that. And yet, right now, we're in a situation where Christians have become so political and have become so entrenched with certain social ideologies that now, to be a Christian, it is assumed that you are a bigoted person.
Right. And that's heartbreaking.
So people think they're actually doing something good by calling you out on being a bigot or by burning a Bible or making a statement because they think you're a hateful person and I'm trying to protect other people from you.
And I think one of our solutions is, as a church, we have to move to a more of a collectivist mindset where we have to recognize my actions don't just impact me. They impact the entire body of Christ. The things that I say, the words that I write down, we carry that with us. You know, when we would go on missions to the persecuted church, we'd go to Cuba or China. I would always be mindful of the fact that I'm representing Jesus Christ and that I'm representing my country. And not because I choose to be the America's representative, but because people are going to look at me, he's an American, and they're going to base their opinions on Americans because of me. And we need to start thinking about what I post on Twitter or Facebook. Mm-hmm. Does it add to the kingdom? Does it encourage? Does it represent the fruit of the Spirit? Is it loving? Is it patient? Is it kind? Right? Am I demonstrating forgiveness, forbearance? Or am I demonstrating the fruit of a fallen world, the fruit of the sinful flesh? Am I causing divisions and factions? You know, this is where the rubber hits the road. We can't play these games anymore. It's been a luxury for us to be able to fight about, different small issues of doctrine. We can't fight about them anymore. We have to have a collectivist mindset. Jesus said that the world will know that he loves us when we're united.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening. The world's got to know he's real and he loves us. And that's our primary responsibility. Our primary responsibility is not to make sure that people vote the way we think they should vote. Because I can promise you this, you could have 90% of America decide that they're going to vote for Joe Snuffy for president. And if God wants, Bill Thompson to be president, guess what's going to happen?
Bill Thompson is going to be
by
president.
By one way or another, someone's going to die or some kind of a constitutional crisis will happen. Something's going to happen. Bill Thompson will be in the White House. So should we participate in vote and things like that? That's a matter of opinion, depending on your personal theology.
Yeah.
But
matter of conscience, we'll say personal conviction. That's fine.
The more political that our Christians get, the more we can expect to see a wagon of Bibles in front of a church being burned, or crosses being burned, or churches being burned down like it's happening in Canada right now. So,
And I will just say this much, to be persecuted for Christ's name's sake is a blessing.
An honor.
It is an honor. That is something that comes to me, right? I pray that I am able to face that in a way that honors the Lord. But I will just say this much. I'm not going to be happy if I'm getting consequences for other people's political beliefs. Of course, I will still face it in the way that the Lord wants me to, and I will seek to honor and glorify him. But that's kind of a different story. I don't really want to have to deal with people being prejudiced against me because they think that I believe something politically. Come at me because you know, I am a foreign substance in this world that needs to be pushed out because I'm so much like Jesus. Don't come at me because you think that I disagree with your politics.
So what I hear you saying is, if you get persecuted because of somebody's tying politics to Christianity, you're not going to be happy. And friends, let me just tell you, we don't want that. None of us want that.
That's the ultimate point of this episode, really, is to say that if I'm not happy,
ain't nobody happy.
And of course, you know, as I'm saying that, we understand that everything that we go through in our lives, that God is sovereign and that he allows certain things to happen. And obviously, I'm not trying to make light of that or anything, but I just think we should understand that those are two very different situations.
Yeah.
And I think that people are going to see this Bible burning and that they are going to say, oh, well, that means that these people must be on the right track. Because, you know, you hear that if you're not getting persecuted, it means you're not, you know, we'll say being Christian enough, but you're not being enough like Jesus if you're not being persecuted. We would agree with that. We've said that before. You know, all who seek to live a godly life will be persecuted. But not everyone who is persecuted for living a godly life. And not everyone who is persecuted is being persecuted for Jesus's namesake. And so we have to understand that we can't just look and see a consequence and say, oh, that must be happening because these people are being so much like Jesus.
Well, listen, if you want to learn more about what's going on in the persecuted church, you want to hear stories from our Bible couriers who are into the persecuted church, have some of these lessons that you hear on here written down, you want to go on to atlasbible.org/BCI and select get the courier update, and we'll get you signed up for that and get that out to you. Go start coming in hopefully about a month from now. And then share the podcast with people. Let them know. If you feel like this information is valuable and important, give it a share. And don't forget to check out The Crash and learn a little about culture and get some ideas about how we can be in this world in a way that is a little bit different than what we've experienced in the past, but a little more like the way they did it in the Bible times.
In the Bible times.
In the Bible times.
Well, we will catch you all next week, and then bless you guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Harder Way podcast. If you were encouraged by this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend or leaving us a review. To be the first to know when we publish new episodes, subscribe to the Harder Way podcast on your favorite platform. Until next time, remember the words of Christ. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.